Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome all to the 2 p.m. service here on a Sunday afternoon, a beautiful Sunday afternoon that the Lord has blessed us with. As I was just sharing with the congregation, it's not often that I preach at the 2 p.m. service, but nonetheless, I enjoy it. And we're going to rejoice in the Lord together. Amen. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. Thank you all of you joining us right now online. And I would like to get started on the word of the Lord right away. Shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. And we exalt, Lord, your holy name forever. I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity that I have to share your word. And Lord, I pray that as it goes forth, that every single listener, every hearer, Lord, of this message, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, touch them in a profound way. I pray, Lord, right now that you will heal the brokenhearted. I pray, Lord, right now that you would see all of those, Lord, who are crying out to you. May you reach them, Lord, where they are at this very moment. And may you come to their aid right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And your name will be glorified, Lord. Thank you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Do we have our Bibles this afternoon?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Could you turn it down just a little bit? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And we're going to start reading verse 7. We're going to read a set of verses here this afternoon. I feel quite positive that you've read this verse before. And I have shared on this set of verses that we're going to read here in the past. But nonetheless, the Lord has inspired me to share this once again to you guys, but in a slightly different light. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, we only have a few of us here this afternoon, and I'm going to make the best out of what we have here in the audience. A show of hands. Who love these verses that we just finished reading? Oh, all right, the holier than... No, I'm kidding, no. Well, did you study this recently? Today? Wow. Spiritual, okay. So I know the camera is not panning out on the audience, but I got 2 hands that were raised that love these verses. Before I get too deep into the details about the verses that we just finished reading, Paul, right now, is someone who is described and who we all know Actually, before I say what I'm about to say, let me ask you this question. Has anyone that you know, whether it's personally, whether it is through YouTube, whether it's a tape CD, or someone that you know personally, is there anyone that could be placed above the Apostle Paul when it comes to revelations? Impartment, right? As far as divine knowledge of Christ himself. Anybody? Yes. You think that John is above the Apostle Paul? He had the divine revelation of the end times. As far as the book of Revelation and things that hasn't yet come. But see, Paul has spoke in all languages and even certain things that you cannot repeat. John didn't have that revelation. Paul has seen things and was caught up just like John was, but was shown so many things both in the life here and the life to come, and he's had revelations from the past, similar to an experience or several experiences that Moses had, which Moses wrote the first few books of the Bible. You know, the creation of time since the beginning. All those things, Genesis, is all accredited to Moses, you know. But nonetheless, you see, here we read in the Word of God how Paul was very much given a measure, it says, a measure by abundance of the revelation. The abundance of it. Amen? But Paul right now redirects what could have set him into a deep bitterness and inactivity as far as an affliction that God decided not to heal him, and instead he turns it into strength. In other words, humility and a deeper reliance on God. Now think about it for a moment. For most of us who walk with the Lord, for most of us who know God, and maybe someone that you might know, if they go through trials and tribulations and things like that, immediately they go into some sort of state of depression. Why is this happening to me? How come I am not seeing the hand of God move in my particular situation? Why am I going through all this stress, all this tribulation? Why are these things happening to me? Where is the grace of God in my life at this moment? Many people will question the sovereignty of God. Many people will question God's hand. They're going to question their faith. Why am I going through all these persecutions? Why am I going through all these setbacks? Why? And many of them are inclined to decline. Spiritually, they go down. They might go into depression. But notice here that the opposite happens with Paul. You see there? As painful, frustrating, or hindering as it was, Paul's circumstances never hindered him from being the apostle that God called him to be. And by the grace of God, he labored more abundantly, as the Word of God says, than them all. Think about it. The more setbacks you encounter, the more fervent you are with the Lord. Who has, right now, who has that drive? Who would? Who would not be encouraged to give up at the very first or second or third obstacle that they find on the road? Automatically, they're going to self-discern that that's not the will of God. I'd imagine by the first shipwreck, many of us will be like, man, this is not for me. Look, I was a day and one full night. I was almost a couple days out in the sea, floating on a raft on something that broke off the ship. That's what I think. If Paul was swimming for 2 days in the middle of the ocean, boy, you want to talk about grace. I'm going to ask him that question once I meet him upstairs. Hey, were you hanging on to something for a couple of days? Imagine 2 days without drinking anything. In the water. You over there, shark lunch meat. Right? But God was with him. But imagine, some of us, after the first shipwreck, I'm like, you know, that was the hand of God. I knew, you know, I remember that story about this guy Jonah and all of this. And like all these things. And this happened to him twice. Being whipped, being left for dead, stoned, beaten, naked, hungry, imprisoned, everything else. Just imagine that. But yet the Word of God says that, yet the Word of God mentions that he labored more, even more than anybody that he knew. And I venture to say, even more than anybody that we might know. Let me show you here, 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. It says, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. You see there? You see, right now, Paul hurries to acknowledge that whatever he is at that moment, it is only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. And through thick and thin. Through thick and thin. He did not give up on the first trial and tribulation that he encountered. He did not give up. He didn't question God. He went to the Lord. He said, Lord, I got this problem right now. Can you do something about it? And the Lord was gracious enough to answer him. And he went to the Lord more than once, right? But yet he says, by the grace of the Lord, I am who I am, and I've done what I've done to this point. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, in a genuine sense, it was not Paul himself, but the grace of God that was working through him, through every single trial, every single tribulation. And he did not accept his grace as, for example, as a matter of fact, I am able to do all these things because of the grace of God that abundeth over meeth, or any of that. It wasn't something that he took lightly. Instead, it put him under the most profound obligation. And he labored without being tired to serve the Lord who had saved him on the road to Damascus one day. I'm talking about, you know, I read this recently. Anyone that the Lord has changed, transformed, and they allowed God to work through them had had their names changed. I could name four people. Actually, I should have written this down. People who have had an encounter with the Lord and their names were changed and they were never the same. Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul. You got Jacob, who became Israel. And he fought with Jesus. He fought with the angel of the Lord. They wrestle. Isn't that how you say it? They wrestle. And he won to an extent. To where as though the Lord had to like, okay, the sun is coming up. We need to put this to an end right now. Because he's not giving up. All people who have had a divine encounter with God and their lives were forever changed, They still went through thick and thin, but they remained steadfast with God to the point that their names changed. Amen? So, naturally speaking, of all the things that has been listed in 2 Corinthians, we can't enjoy the experiences that are listed there. Let me tell you, do you enjoy being sick? One thing that I really, really don't like is when I have a fever. Because when you have a fever, you're weak. And it could be 85 degrees outside and you got the chills. All of a sudden you feel cold, right? Cold sweat. You have no energy. You have no appetite. Sometimes you can't eat anything because you feel like putting it right back out, right? We don't like tribulation. We don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like distress. And how is it that Paul, I should say, would find pleasure in all of these distresses? That's quite something, wouldn't you say? But here's the key thing. The key to understanding the verse and understanding this passage is simply by one: for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And I tried to think about this verse and try to somewhat bring it to light right now. And this is the best analogy that I could come up with. I think most of us here in the audience, with the exception of maybe three, most of us here today have children. Brother, do you have children? Yes? Okay. And we would sacrifice something for ourselves for the sake of our children, would we not? I know I have sacrificed a sandwich or two so my daughter could eat something. Just because of the circumstances, right? It could be something that was minor or overlooked. Or I might eat half of my meal, but make sure that she eats at least something, right? And then the other half is going to come within, 15 minutes, half hour or so. All of us have, to one point, sacrificed ourselves and our comfort, our convenience, to serve or to protect or to nourish someone else. Why? Because we love them. Yes? True or false? Am I the only one here? Amen?
Amen.
Now think about it right now for the Lord. You see, this is the attitude that Paul had. He went through all these things for Christ's sake. He was on a mission. And he said, I am going to serve the Lord with all of my heart. You see, we should be willing also to endure situations that the Lord puts us through for the advancement of the gospel. Things we would not ordinarily bear for ourselves or even for someone else. And when we are conscious of our weakness, when we are conscious of our nothingness, that is when we depend on the power of God. And that is so important. And it is when we cast on Him, we cast ourselves on Him in complete dependence on God, that is when His power manifests in our lives. That is when we are truly strong. Even though you might be feeling weak, even though you might be feeling like, man, this is not for me, when we cast ourselves on the Lord, He strengthens us. As Paul says, only by His grace. And then I look at this verse, and I see how the Apostle Paul is obeying the words of the Lord that are found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12, that says this: blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. And there's that phrase, for my sake. That's the key part there. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen? You see, Paul rejoiced when men persecuted him. Paul rejoiced when men reviled him. Paul rejoiced when he came across all types of tribulations because he knew that great was the reward waiting for him in heaven. And this is the same attitude that the Lord right now is inviting every single one of us to have. If for us not to be complaining, not to be questioning God's perfect will, His perfect desire, over your life, but for us to maintain strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and His grace, because He is with you through and through. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name and we exalt you. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace that abounds over us, Lord, through and through. I pray, Lord, that when we come across tribulations and trials, that we won't feel discouraged, that we won't be depressed, that we won't buckle or fold, but, Lord, that we would rely on your strength, on your mercy, on your grace. May we always, Lord, learn from the Holy Spirit what he has to say. May we receive guidance. May our ears be open to direction and also, Lord, correction in Jesus' name. May we always rely, Lord, heavy on you because we want to be guided, Lord, by you always. I thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give us, the strength to overcome, and may we use it, Lord, for the honor and glory of your name. We love you, Lord. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.
It is offering time. Thank you, Father God, for the offerings that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for those who had and those who didn't, but we know you're lifted up, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.